In these last days, he, that is, the Lord, has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. In many parishes around the Columbia area, this particular day tends to be forgotten. Such parishes were in a huge rush to get to Christmas, scrunching their worship activity on the front end so they could say they did it, and then wheel off into their own activities. Exhausted and thankful, they got everything done. That's why parishes such as this one are to be commended for scheduling a liturgy on this day, so its members and friends do not forget the immense significance of the Son's incarnation. Today's liturgy is actually a part of the church's tradition, where there is an early liturgy on Christmas Eve, then one that moves into the midnight hour, and then one that occurs on Christmas Day. These celebrations of the Son's incarnation unpack the quiet yet highly powerful realities of Jesus' birth for all of us. Among all the world's gods, what the Lord God did on this day had never been done before and will never be done again. He pushed his life into this world. The world's gods, and there are thousands of them created by us inventive human beings, are highly attractive, but they are also extremely destructive. They are not interested in making our lives better or more satisfying. They only want to use us, making unreal demands of us and offering, at best, temporary satisfactions. These gods were described by Martin Luther as that to which we look for all good and in which we find refuge in every time of need. The great news today is that all those gods are pushed to the side as we confront the realities of the Son's incarnation. Today's second lesson, while it is read year after year, tends to be overlooked and taken for granted. But as you and I work through its first four verses, we will find the Lord's global positioning system for all his baptized people. A system that can function much like the apps on our phones or on our navigation screens. Also, a system that can anchor a parish's ministry while giving it the Trinity's driving impetus. The author of the letter to the Hebrews opens with the observation that long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Those prophets were continually addressing the Lord's people to quit living for themselves and to return to him. They reminded those people of the Exodus from Egypt, of the giving of the law on Sinai, and of the wilderness wanderings. They kept referencing the Psalms that undergirded their worship of the Lord God. Today, those prophets are the church's pastors and teachers. As the Lord's baptized people in this culture, we recognize that we are now a minority. But we are still reminded to quit living for ourselves and to return to the Lord who is rescuing us and all people. The Hebrews author then notes that in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. The last days are referencing a new block of time that ranges from the Son's birth to the end of time. During that long, long time, the speaking by the Son continues with the scriptures and the sacraments pulsating through the church. The author points out that the Lord has marked his Son as the heir of everything and through whom he created the world. The first image of the sun that came from the early church and was somewhere around the 300-400s was an icon called Pantocrator. And that is a Greek word meaning that the sun is the Lord of all things. The sun radiates the Lord's glory. It's like the immense sun in our solar system, but even more so. The Son is of the Father and of the Spirit in every aspect of their life together in as the Holy Trinity. And the author reminds us that the Son upholds the universe by the word of his power. That is, he brought the universe into being. He keeps the universe going. He will complete the universe at the end of time. His word breaks the world's life down and restores it. His word frees you and me from the world's life. His word embeds us in the Trinity's life. After his crucifixion that freed you and me from living only for ourselves, the Son went on to the resurrection and then to the ascension, enabling him to sit at the right hand of the Father. This completed his act of redemption for the world's people. This act also made him superior to all the angels in eternity, because his name is more excellent than theirs. It is a name streaming from the Holy Trinity. So, even though this passage has been overlooked over the years, it still is quite stunning. It can not only be a global positioning system for the Lord's baptized people, it can also anchor a parish's ministry while giving it the life and the energy of the Holy Trinity. Through the mysterious impact of the Son's incarnation today, the world's gods can finally be pushed out of the center of our lives. The Lord God is from eternity. Whatever he wills to do, he does. The gods of our making, on the other hand, are the work of human beings. They can be crafted from silver or gold, but they are lifeless. For example, they have mouths, but they can't speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear. They have noses, but cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel. They have feet, but cannot walk. They have throats that cannot make a sound. And as you and I craft them, they become like a continuous loop that runs through our minds, our hearts, and our bodies. The loop of the world's gods creates conditions where people wander in a wasted land, where they want a city to live in but cannot find one, where they are hungry and thirsty all the time, where their spirits are continually pushed down. This leaves people who are struggling with major issues in their lives but are hesitant to confront them, even though they are desperately trapped by them. The loop of the world's gods creates conditions where people sit in darkness and deep gloom, where they are trapped by the misery in the prisons they have created, where they are defiant about the Lord God, waving off his life and its rescuing ways. This leaves people who are hit with unexpected illness, but attempt to handle it on their own, apart from the Lord's healing life. The loop of the world's gods creates conditions where people are foolish and constantly rebelling, where they are hammered because of their instinctive drive to live their own way. This leaves people who are increasingly restless because their good life has become rough and they are not sure of where to turn. It is gods such as these that the Son's incarnation is pushing to the side today and away from the center of your life and mine. And as that center fades, it is replaced by the life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A replacement that bores into our lives through their compassionate and merciful actions. Their actions begin with their baptisms of us, giving us a life that runs on into eternity. Their actions continue as they surround us with the holy writings of their scriptures. Their actions steadily draw us into the forgiveness as we confront and confess the sin in us. Their actions graciously invite us to the eating and the drinking of the Son's body and blood. These actions make up the Lord's global positioning system for all his baptized people, while serving as a permanent anchor for a parish's ministry. While the Lord gives us the freedom to mess around with the gods we create and maintain, his burning desire is that we ultimately respond to him, a response that is always centered in the actions of our Lord and of our God. We can pay attention to people like Oprah, Dr. Phil, Gwyneth, and Kylie. These individuals are not necessarily bad or useless, but their guidance for our lives is at best temporary. Even though we baptized are a minority in this culture, we are much better off turned into the life of the Holy Trinity. This is where real and enduring life is to be found. Anchored in that life, you and I can faithfully reflect it to the thousands of people in this area who are being worked over by the gods of this world, who are attempting to save themselves, who in fact are sinking into their own lives. As baptized people, we can reflect the Lord's life compassionately and mercifully. After all, the incarnation that is occurring today is happening because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit looked upon the confusion and the violence, the self-wrapping and the ignorance of this world. They decided to rescue us through the birth, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension of the Son. Isn't it great that this day is not forgotten after all? The incarnation is connecting our lives to the Lord's. It is creating meaningful gatherings of family and friends. It is making sense of our lives and energizing them. And it is bringing us into a life that has no ending. Amen. Now may the peace of the Lord God, which is beyond all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord.